Here we are.
Here we are.
It's Kathy Hart.
It's Ana Belaval.
Hello.
This is so fun.
I know. First of all, filling in for John Williams is like an honor. I'm like, do you guys...
Okay, it's intimidating.
Do you like even realize like what might happen in the next couple hours?
I don't know how our IQs combined add to John's,
no,
but I don't think we make it.
Not even
I mean,
close.
I love you, Kathy, but I don't think we're there.
Oh, no. And that's why I like you, because we're both on the same page and we're yeah. very honest.
Yes.
And you're absolutely right about the IQ. I like you, too. Very much. But
you know what? My brother is a genius because my parents tested his IQ. When I asked if they tested my IQ, they said, we didn't see a need.
Okay.
Interpret this as you will.
Perfect. Then that works. So we are going to have fun. We think we have a great show. We did a little bit of planning. So we'll see what happens. I know the world seems to be talking about Bachelorette. And sometimes I didn't watch. Roll my eyes. But
I've never watched.
We'll have a unique spin on that. Hopefully one that you
have
not.
But wait, do you watch?
No, I used to. Oh. Back when I worked at that other station.
Right.
We typically talked about the Bachelorette. So I kind of had to watch it. And it was just horrible how you get hooked. Like, you don't...
I don't see how you get hooked.
You do. Have you even tried?
No.
Okay, see...
I just find it offensive.
Why?
Isn't it weird? I know.
Because it makes women look really stupid.
Yeah.
And...
I know it's their choice and they want to be there, but mm-hmm. I just don't want my kid watching something where they're like, that you have this choice of men to make out or vice versa, right?
Well, because my 18-year-old daughter is really mm-hmm. into it, mm-hmm. and I made sure to tell her, you know, this is fake, right?
Like, right.
The way that they edit it, you of all people know in TV, the way things are edited, they're making it this story. So just know it's not reality TV, it's entertainment.
That's what I've learned TV. From, you know, we now have a very young producer for around town, and she and her mother are hooked. And I'm like, well, it's offensive. And I go on my spiel. Uh-huh. She said, it's not real. We watch it like you would watch a soap opera.
That's good. As long as you have that mentality going into it, I think that is smart. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Phil Vitale is going to be in the studio because we could talk food for
never
days.
Never met Phil either.
Oh, you
like dreams are coming true.
Isn't
I'm working
great?
With you. I've never seen Phil in the flesh.
I was the same the first time he came in. I'm like, oh, you're Phil Vitale. And the first time I heard the like top of the hour beep, I'm like, oh, whoa.
I know.
Because I grew up listening to WGN
right.
and Wally Phillips. And yeah, so quite an honor. It's just unbelievable that we're even here. And I'm sure I can speak for you when I say that.
Absolutely.
Some other stuff we're going to talk about. We've got a guest coming in, Dr. Jill Krista. She is, I would say, an expert in Lyme disease and mold. A lot of people have it. They don't realize it, especially with Lyme disease, even though today it feels like end of summer. I don't know why. It's July 31st. Yeah. Already it's the last day of July. Ugh. But those ticks are still out there. And Lyme disease, many people know, is a brutal, brutal thing. A lot of misconceptions. So we're going to get those things cleared up with her and some other stuff, some other fun stuff that we're going to have planned about summer travel. I know that when do your kids go back to school?
Not soon enough.
You started the countdown, right?
Oh, they go back right after Labor Day because they go to Chicago Public Schools. I know. When does yours go back to school?
Like in 2 weeks.
Oh, that's
August
great.
14th, 15th? I think locker setup is coming up in a couple of weeks. I think 2 weeks from today.
Locker setup.
So yeah, because it's junior high.
He's a middle schooler. Mine is too, but because they go K through eighth here in the city, I don't have to worry about that.
Oh.
She's worried about changing classrooms and all that, but I'm not.
Right.
And then I have a first grader. So.
Wait, what?
Yeah, because I have a daughter who's 11 and my son's 6 and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a big...
gap.
I have a bit of one too with a 19-year-old, 18-year-old, and 11-year-old.
11-year-old, yeah.
Yeah. Not like it matters, but the 11-year-old's adopted. So I just decided this is my OB-GYN actually when I when
not clearly this is not Jenna Williams' show.
Yeah. Not to get into OB-GYN stories, but when after I had my second, mm-hmm. I was contemplating having a third. But I knew I was going to adopt. So I'm just having a conversation with him. Like, you know, I'm thinking about having another. He's like, how old are you? And I think I was 38 at the time. He's like, no, you're done. It's time to adopt. I
was like, wow.
We have that kind of relationship where he's just like tongue in cheek with me. But I know there was some seriousness to it.
Right.
So anyway, I started the adoption process and it was a little lengthy and best thing I've ever done. So it was wonderful.
Yeah.
But that's the age gap. What's your excuse?
I was too afraid to have another one, honestly.
Okay.
The delivery of the first one freaked me out.
Really?
Motherhood kicked my butt. Like, oh. I'm a really type A person, and I waited. We were married 7 years, and I waited till my career was stable.
Wow.
Because I was going to get this motherhood thing right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Hilarious. Mm-hmm. The baby was born, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? And I think I was just shell-shocked. And then I think when Amelia was maybe 4 or 3 and a half, I said, maybe we could go for another one. And I had convinced my husband to just have one. And then,
did he want more?
At that point, he wanted. He's an only child, so, and he didn't like being an only child.
Ah.
And so he wanted 3, and I wanted 2. We were going to have them back to back, but after the first one, I was like shell shocked. And then when I wanted to have another one, he's like, "But we figured this out. You know, we have the money. We're fine." And then we tried.
For him, it was about the money.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the second one, I had a miscarriage in between Amelia and Alex. So then it took about 6 or 7 months after that miscarriage.
Okay.
And then we had our son. So, but my brother and I are 6 years apart as well.
Okay.
It's like raising 2 only children.
Yeah, it really is.
Except we're in a condo, so they're constantly on each other's throats.
Oh.
Yeah.
How many square feet?
I don't know, Kathy.
I know.
Here for your entertainment.
Ask that question,
I don't even know what my cable bill is, Kathy.
I think condo and, wait, are we, Elif, are we going to the call on line one?
Yeah, eventually, if you want to bring the conversation
back to the Bachelorette.
You mentioned it, so.
Okay.
Ruin it for her? Oh, man.
Well, and that's just it. That's one of the things that we were going to get into is it ruined? Like, are you one of the rare people that don't know what happened last night? If you are, it has to be impossible.
I guess so.
I don't know. But yeah, we are going to definitely talk about that coming up because there are a lot of unanswered questions. And like I said, we're going to kind of put a little different spin on it. But I did want to ask you about any celebration that you have for back to school.
Do I have to have one?
No, but I know that some moms, are there any moms out there listening or even dads?
Yeah.
That have a celebration
but
planned.
But do you mean with the kids or when the kids leave the house, do you have massages
first
booked?
Day of school when they're gone, are you like day drinking? Are you planning some kind of a celebration? You and the moms in the neighborhood
together? That would be fun.
Yeah.
I'm working in the mornings, so it's my husband who takes care of it, so he can go hang out with his friends at Starbucks.
There you go.
He has a group of moms that hang out with him on Fridays when he works from home.
I saw a segment once with
that. Yes, you saw them, right?
I did.
Yeah, I think it was Valentine's? Mother's Day.
Yes, yes.
Mother's Day, yeah.
So very sweet. So we will take your calls, 312-981-7200, or your texts if you're a mom or a dad that has a celebration coming up and you are counting down the days until school starts. I can't even believe we're talking about back to school.
I can't believe it's July 31st.
I know. It's insane.
Because we've had such bad weather up until July.
Right? It's so Chicago.
We've been cheated.
Yeah. I'll take you to the sun. We're both dancing.
I know. This will prolong summer. Just play all the summer songs today.
Which, by the way, you can watch from WGNradio.com, correct? So you can watch us in the studio. Not sure if that's a good idea.
No, that's, because we look like deer in headlights sometimes.
I'm not sure.
What's the button to talk to you? What do we do here?
To talk to our producer?
Yeah.
Isn't it the little TB button?
It's not working.
Talk back? All right.
It wasn't working.
We'll get it figured out.
You're going to have to talk to her for me.
But you know what? One thing I do want to ask you, Anna, and it's so funny because when I did a couple of shows with Frank Fontana, there's Anna DeVlantis.
Volantis, yep.
And you, Anna Bella Ball. And so a lot of people get Anna all messed up. So
yeah.
If I do that, I'm going to apologize.
That's fine. I've been in Chicago long enough to put up with Anna.
Yeah, you're used to it.
Yep.
So I wanted to talk to you about kids in summer. I know that they are driving you crazy, but are they like in summer camp?
The thing. My 11-year-old kind of aged out of regular like day camp.
Yeah.
So she goes to a lot of specialty camps. And we bring back our babysitter. We had a babysitter for 11 years who stopped working with us when our son went to kindergarten. And so she comes for the summers. So my daughter and her get along really well and they go all over and that's great. But the 6-year-old gets bored.
Right.
He is going to camp, but he had like 2 weeks of full day camp. And then he went to half day camp with her to a little street art center. And then they're home together and they're on each other's throats. And I get up really early for work, as you know.
Right.
So when I get home, they are just climbing the walls because they want to go out and they want to hang out and they want to do all these things.
And you're exhausted.
And I'm exhausted.
And you want to take a break, which is, by the way, that iced coffee over there.
Oh, yeah. That was my question.
I brought that for you because I didn't know if you, like, what time did you wake up this morning?
I'm going to cry, Kathy.
Oh, don't. Oh, although it might be fun, but.
Oh, you no. brought me a coffee?
Not only a coffee, but look at it. So what time did you wake up this morning?
Today it was like 5. It's not bad. It's not bad.
5?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad.
Because I remember, I'm the one who starts latest in the show. I start at 7:55 in the morning. I have to be at the location at 6:30.
Okay.
So I backtrack and figure, how long is hair and makeup going to take me? Because I do it myself.
Oh,
and
so give me that iced coffee back. You don't need it.
No, I don't really need it.
5 o'clock's nothing. No, I'm kidding. No, you can have it. So I thought you'd
But I go to bed like at 10 or 11. So I don't, I go to bed late. Yeah, because the kids are up. And then I need to unwind and I want to read and, you know, it's not, I got to get ready for the next day.
Right, right.
And it depends on where I'm going. If we're going, like Friday, we're going to Romeoville, I'll wake up at 4, but still, it's not 2 in the morning like the rest of my friends.
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
Yeah. What time did you used to wake up?
I don't know how they do it. About 3:45.
See, that's, but I also live in the city.
Yes, so I lived further out.
You lived further out.
There was no traffic, but it wasn't
still,
that big of a deal.
My commute is 10 minutes to the, not even, 5 minutes to the station.
Oh, yeah. Much better.
And then I don't have to be there for hair and makeup, which takes about a half hour to an hour. So that's, you know,
good.
I do all that at home.
So the iced coffee I brought, and then there's something in the bag, too, that you can either keep for yourself, because I know what it is with moms. Moms don't get, oftentimes they don't get a lot of love. They don't get special treats.
My son loves these cake pops.
Okay,
Kathy.
So maybe you can bribe him. It's like, if you blah, 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 here's a cake.
He needs a lot of bribing.
For you.
My daughter didn't need as much bribing. I'm going to drink this coffee because you brought it for me, and I can drink coffee twice a day.
Okay, good. I didn't know. It's iced
totally.
Coffee.
And I can't believe you brought me, like, I thought you were going to bring me, like, a hemp bar.
Oh.
Or something made out of something weird like you eat. No, you know.
I don't know. I have one in my purse. You want one?
Didn't I? Don't I know you?
Well, it's not a hemp bar.
I've listened to you long enough. I know it's not a hemp bar because that probably doesn't exist. But, you know, something made out of patchouli and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We can go through purses
keto,
later. And
keto.
Oh, yeah. There's.
But no, I think the biggest problem for me is that I should have worked on summer better and have them all screw it on camp. You're going to go to camp.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But I have this flexibility with my job where, you know, you idealize, oh, I'll be home by 1. I can pick them up or I can hang out. We'll go to the beach. And then the reality is not that. No. You get home. They're still in their pajamas. They're yelling at each other. And mom, now we want to go here. And the age gap is so big that the boy wants to do one thing. The girl wants to do one thing.
Right.
And you just want to nap so that you don't kill them by 5
it's
o'clock.
Tough.
Yeah.
How are your? We're going to take a call about a celebration. And do I need to bring them up? Or LF, or, okay, so we're going to get to them in a bit. I wanted to ask you how your summers are different from your kids, because my summer was way different than, like, we didn't have camp. I mean, I'm old, but I'm not that old. We just didn't do summer camps when I was growing up.
Well, I was talking to my husband about that because I grew up in Puerto Rico. Wow, it only took me 25 minutes to say that. Usually takes me 10 to tell you I'm from Puerto Rico.
For those of you who were playing along at home, you can take a drink
25
now.
25 minutes. Pat Tomasula would say the average is 10.
Okay.
So I grew up there, and I was talking to my husband. I didn't grow up in a neighborhood where you would open the door and we would all be playing. So, and my brother was a lot older than me, so he had that. He could go on his bike to play with his friends. I played a lot with my dolls.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of TV, and I did dance camp. So 4 weeks of dance camp or 3 weeks of theater camp, but I really didn't go away for camp.
We didn't do anything.
Neither did my brother. My brother would have gone, but then he aged out. We were bored a lot. And we were fine.
I think that was good. Being bored was good because it forced creativity.
Kathy and my mom had no guilt about it. I am guilt-ridden. Oh, they're going to be bored. Oh,
right?
He's going to drive me crazy tonight
with
all that energy. And my mom's like, who cares?
Yeah. Summer's way different. All we did was ride our bike. And it's the cliche, when it gets dark, then it's time for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're home by dark. There weren't cell phones back then.
I did a lot of boring errands with my parents.
Yeah, I would do the grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
I actually loved it. My mom would sign a check. She would drop me off at the Eagle in Crystal Lake when it was there. And I would do the grocery shopping.
Oh my God, I can do that with my kid.
I would use the pay phone for her to come pick me up when I was done with the groceries. And then she would take me back home. I would fill out the check. I felt so mature.
So last year, I got my daughter a job.
Mm-hmm. You did?
Yes.
Smart.
Because she was
10. Wait, how old is she?
She was 10. I don't care.
Okay.
If you're not going to go to camp, work.
Work. Yeah.
It was an internship. We live on top of a flower shop. And she had just bought the flower shop, this young lady, and I said, do you need help? And she said, yeah. I said, my 10-year-old is great. So can I send her downstairs every afternoon so she can hang out here and learn? And she learned so much. And this summer she's working with her again. And, you know, people are like, oh, she should be paid. I'm like, no, she shouldn't. This woman's doing me a favor. Amelia learned how to process flowers, make arrangements, answer the phone in a business, how to take care of customers.
Isn't that great?
And, you know, it was my intern. She can't work yet, you know, officially.
As an intern.
But this woman, you know, gave her hours here and there. Some days she worked more than others. And if we wanted to go to the pool, I'd pick her up. But she needed something to do.
Speaking of going to the pool, let's take this call. Mm-hmm. Alicia is on line one, I believe. She's on the phone.
You're making that up, Kathy. We have no idea what line one is.
Hi, Alicia. How are you going to celebrate?
Hi. The show is awesome, first of all. You guys are great. Thank you. Well, I am super lucky. I am a high school teacher, and I love my job. And we've got two daughters that are 17 and 20 now. And we've always celebrated. So, like, the weekend before school starts, we just spend the day at the pool hanging out. We go out for a good dinner. In fact, we've got a dinner planned for this Friday. And we're just going to hang out and have a great time.
That's the way to do it.
Go to the pool with no one tugging at your bathing suit.
Yeah. Now, wait, when you say go to the pool, do you actually get into the pool or do you just sit?
You know what? I do. When we were little, we used to go to my parents' house where they live. They've got a pool, but we're also very lucky. We've had a pool in our yard the last couple years. And so we just hang out. It's awesome. Awesome. I love it. And then it's kind of like, for me, I feel like summer is extended because sometimes we've been hanging around in our pool as late as early October. It's crazy.
Oh, wow.
I think seasons are shifting. Don't you guys think you feel like seasons are
shifting? I do too.
Yeah. Because when you get out of school, some get out of school in May, it's still too cold.
So even Alicia, mine got out of school June 20th or June 19th.
Whoa.
And they, because it was CPS.
Okay.
And welcome to urban life, my dear Kathy.
It's late.
It's super late, but it was still kind of cool. They were going in jackets. It was raining. Summer didn't arrive until July,
That's why today being July 31st, it's just so hard to believe tomorrow's August. I feel like it's summer's over. People are in a summer panic, but
I am.
Yeah. Well, when I go to the pool, my youngest wants me to get in, and there's just something about getting my hair wet. Like my hair, I have the worst hair in the world, and I don't like getting my hair wet. It's a big day if I get in the pool and actually get my hair wet. I don't know why that's an accomplishment for my kids.
Remind me if the text line is the same one as the phone number.
Yes.
Yes.
312-981-7200.
So text us, what are your plans when the kids get the heck out of your house at 8 in the morning, August 15th, whenever it is that you suburbanites go back to school?
My sister's a teacher. I think she goes back August 12th.
Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. So anyway, so we'll talk more about that coming up. And also, this guy, no one knows the food in this city better than this guy coming in on WGN. Steve. So we had a moment while Steve was doing the news.
Well, you were listening to the news, right?
Yes, we were listening to the news.
Taking notes, actually.
Right.
Taking notes.
Until Steve, I will admit, when Phil Vitale walked in the studio and Annabella Vall screamed.
I fangirled. Well, he's been on WGN Morning News when he was in disguise, so no one would see him. He would enter covered.
You had some
in a
amazing
shroud.
Props for me.
Plus, we covered you even from the car in a shroud.
Did you really?
In a cape. No, I'm kidding, but we would silhouette the man. And then when he revealed himself to the world, I don't have a monitor at the location, so I've never seen what Phil looked like.
Oh, so this is the first time.
I'm so sorry. After all this buildup.
I'm so excited. I thought
I'd be taller.
You did scream. Yeah, well, Pat Tomasulo is the same thing. So, but no, honestly, it's so great to meet you. Well,
thank you. You too.
It was a moment. We're talking pizza?
Now I want to talk to Anna some more.
Yeah. I know. I could use the restroom or go do what I could go get a deep dish pizza.
Sure. Yeah, would you mind?
They
don't deliver until 4 o'clock, so you really have to go get it.
Darn it.
Well, who could eat it any earlier, though?
Me, for
lunch,
breakfast.
Out of the fridge.
Yes.
Slap it in a pan.
Something's wrong with me.
You can't do cold pizza, though.
Oh, you warm it up in the morning?
Oh, I would eat it for breakfast.
Warmed
for sure.
Up.
I have an old deep dish pizza pan that that the Malnati people gave me years ago for some charity thing. Mm-hmm. So I just popped the leftover pizza in that, and it goes in the oven. Just have to make up your mind to do it about 35 minutes before you
do it. That's a thing.
Yeah. So it's because you can't microwave it.
But I'm patient that way. I'll do it.
Yeah. Very good. So are we talking about deep dish pizza?
Yeah, well, my colleagues did a fun story about how to order deep dish pizza and the different ways. There are actually different ways you can order it, and just kind of like tips, I suppose. And some of them I use, and some of them are new with me.
Okay.
One of the things was they like ordering the individual pies because they like the crust to filling ratio that way.
Because they get more crust.
Right.
So these are the people that like the crust.
Right. They're there for the crust.
Okay. Are you a crust?
I have my opinions about crust, but I'm more of a toppings guy.
Me too. I call it the goodies. I call it the crust and the goodies. I'm all about the goodies.
Yeah. I love the crust.
The crust is in service to the goodies.
Well, that's true. It holds the pizza.
Right. It's the base of the pizza.
It's the walls.
It's not right. The base is the whole foundation.
The amphitheater.
Right.
If you don't have that, someone just spilled something on your plate.
Come on now. It's a pie.
It's cheese. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's a pie. That's all you had me at pie. So what are some of the tips from these real Chicagoans about ordering deep dish?
Well, the one is to go with the individual pizza, which is probably not my choice, although the one advantage they did not mention about ordering that way is it keeps you from overeating pizza. You get the personal size, you eat the personal size.
Exactly.
Correct.
That's probably too much anyway, but I have this problem with, you know, if you get a large pizza and for the self-loathing kicks in around the third slice.
Oh, my God.
Plus, it's like $100.
Yeah,
that I don't care about. Just whatever. if it's a good Malnati pizza, it's like, I'm glad they don't know how much I would pay for the pizza.
Exactly.
If they knew, they would just be jacking.
Oh, the Lou Malnati's. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't even.
Like, I'm very much a Giordano's girl, but a Lou Malnati's, that's my husband's favorite.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. I think they're all good. It's hard to pick.
It's when true.
It's like a mood thing. Oh, am I in the mood for Lou Malnati's?
And deep dish.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So you mentioned something that sparked my ear when you said overeating. I have to believe that in your profession, have you figured out how to not overeat because you get so much incredible food?
Well, this is radio, so I just tell you, no, clearly not.
Why would you, Kathy? That is a loaded question.
Well, it is a loaded question, but it's an honest question.
If you're asking how I keep this figure, it's not that hard.
No, because you can. Some people are just. It's in the DNA. It doesn't matter. You can eat broccoli all day and still have a similar physique.
Right.
I have to believe. I thought you would be enormous, and I do not think you are.
Thank you.
So that's why I asked. How do you?
Some people have. I try intermittently to portion control. Mm. Eat a little bit. You know, you get a pie for dessert. Two bites into the pie, you get it.
Oh.
Now, there's nothing. There's nothing left. At least analytically,
that's
to learn
control
about the pie.
That's control.
And if you can take two bites and shove it aside, usually handcuffs are involved. But if you can do that,
you will like to eat, Phil.
I do.
It's part of the job?
It's part of the job.
So tell me,
during the interview, did they say, how do you like to eat, sir? And you said, absolutely.
Yeah.
Better than anything else in the world.
I don't know about that, but yeah, pretty close.
What's your favorite food?
I don't have a favorite food. It's all kinds of things.
It has to be.
I will say,
cyclical.
Yeah, pizza is kind of kryptonite-y for me.
Really?
So is good guacamole with good chips.
Oh.
It's a total weakness. I have to...
Your favorite guac? Can you say? Because there's so many places with...
Mine.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What's so your... cook, Vitale? You cook?
A little bit.
Well, you make guac. That's not cooking.
No, I cook from time to time.
What's your secret? What makes it the best?
A little garlic powder, because it incorporates more completely throughout the guacamole than minced garlic will, unless you stir the living daylights out of it.
That's true.
And when nobody's looking, a tablespoon of sriracha.
A tablespoon. Okay.
Well, if it's for me, if I'm home with my wife, it's a half teaspoon.
Okay.
When she's not looking.
Exactly.
That's challenging sometimes with couples. One likes it spicy, and I'm talking about food. One likes
it
spicy.
So
we're not going to get into that with you, Phil.
To cars. Anyway.
Right. So, and then... I was also, when I was thinking about overeating, because I often do it, what is the last thing that you just couldn't stop? You overate, and you were uncomfortable.
Last time I did it?
Yeah.
What time is it now?
I pretty much do it every meal.
Yeah, I think I was watching something interesting on TV, and suddenly the bottom of the bag of chips came much faster than I expected it to, or something like that. Or when my wife makes pasta, we sometimes make more than we should, and yet there are fewer leftovers than there should be.
It's so filling. All right, I don't know if we're allowed to name drop or anything, but we got a text from 773. Can you please ask Phil about Vines on Clark pizza, especially the margarita pizza? Thanks. Love you all at WGN.
Well, I'm going to make an enemy here. I've not had that pizza.
Okay.
And,
maybe the margarita pizza
is a classic, maybe the definitive classic pizza because it has the colors of the Italian flag on it, and that's where it came from. But I don't know. I don't know Vines.
Okay. Well, maybe you should.
Maybe I should.
We're in the city of Chicago, and with the suburbs and outlying areas, there's pizza everywhere.
Right. And we have as many pizzas as we have religions, and it's not a coincidence. You know, we talk about deep dish, and I was just talking about her devotion to Giordano's, which is stuffed. And the person who's calling in about the margarita is clearly about thin crust.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to work in the tavern style people.
And the Neapolitan.
And the Neapolitans. And the kind of stuff that's in between. And then almost within sight here is Robert's Pizza, which opened up in the River East Arts Center. I'm old enough to call it North Pier.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Once upon a time.
Yeah.
And he makes just a terrific pizza right on the... Robert's Pizza. Robert Garvey.
Oh, no, Robert.
Makes an outstanding pizza. And then the Rich Melman and the lettuce people just opened up...
Portofino?
Pizzeria Portofino on the river.
Did you like that?
It's really good.
It was fantastic.
It is seriously good.
They can't do anything wrong.
Well, they got the guy from... Spaconopoli to come in and consult. And
smart
and
move.
Rich has a place out in California. In Arizona. Mm-hmm. He's a big fan of Chris Bianco and his Pizza Bianco in Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another iconic kind of pizzeria. So he's consulting with the right people.
That Portofino is by the river, right?
Yeah, the old used to be called Bridge House Tavern.
Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you just went to a seafood place, a new one, by the London House, also by the river.
Yeah, basically on the corner of Wacker and Michigan in London House. Their entrance is around the corner on Wacker itself.
Ocean Prime.
Okay.
Which, as the name suggests, has seafood and steak.
Ooh. And turf.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. How was it? Is that what we're talking with you about mostly? Because, you know, Anna and I could probably talk to you
forever
about all kinds of stuff.
I don't have an agenda, not really.
Oh, good. I love that.
So,
how was it?
Tell me about it.
It was very good. It's very good. It's it's an expensive night out. It's a destination night out.
Okay.
The white tablecloths, very solicitous service, proper cocktails, big, you know, fancy chandeliers above, windows that overlook the river this way and Michigan Avenue that way because the dining room is kind of overall L-shaped, and so it does the parts of Wacker and parts of Michigan looking outside, and very good seafood. I mean, it hits a lot of the same notes that everybody else does. There's not a lot of new, like, oh, nobody's ever done this before in seafood before, because it's a chain. It's got a dozen locations or more. But execution is very, very good. So you will pay $40 for your fish entree, but you'll get a really good piece of fish.
So another question I have for you is, do you like all foods? Do you like all seafoods? Because it seems some people are a little picky when it comes to seafood.
Yeah.
Do you like all foods? Do you have any allergies? So is there nothing that you don't like or nothing that you won't eat?
No, bugs. I did bugs one time.
I admire that.
There was a bugs. I'll do chapulines because that's a big, you know, the
Mexican
fried Mexican
delicacy,
grasshoppers.
Yeah.
That's kind of a delicacy. One time I was at a traveling museum thing and they were showing us about bugs because, you know, edible protein and, you know, solve hunger and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And so I tried all kinds of things. I had tarantula and I had scorpion. And most
were they at least breaded and deep fried?
They were fried, but no, they weren't. They weren't breaded. The thing that killed about the scorpion, I mean the tarantula, you're eating the tarantula and, you know, the body's kind of big and pretty much all that's in there is shell and fat, you know, and so it's kind of can be kind of mushy. And they said as we're eating it, you know, we did remove the poison sacs from the tarantula.
Okay.
So we probably got most of them, but you should know that some lower mouth paralysis is, you know, is normal.
Well, thank you for that one.
Said, thank you. And here's something else is normal. Me pushing the plate that way.
Out of the way. Out of the way.
I had my one, I had, my kids were little. We didn't try everything, and it was called the no thank you bite. You can have a no thank you bite. So you can refuse it afterwards, but you have to take the first
one. We did the same thing.
No thank you bite. So I did a no thank you bite of tarantula.
But you did it.
We should try it.
I did it.
Mm. Well, that's the craziest.
Now I can't. Now I've got this. Now I've got the crown, right? I've got the title. Mm-hmm. I can't walk in there and go, ew, yeah, to anything.
Right.
Right.
Thank you.
Like our small children.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
We do the no thank you. But what is the grossest thing you've ever eaten, Anna?
Mm. Oysters.
Oh. Is it the texture?
Yeah. And I don't like it when someone says, put sauce on it, it'll taste better.
No, because like, it's a textural thing.
The idea of you have to add a condiment so it tastes better. Mm-hmm. That texture just I didn't like it.
See, I almost never add the sauce because I like what the oysters taste like.
Exactly. I don't
My wife does not like raw oysters, so if I grill them, she'll eat them. And especially if I grill them and bread them and throw some cheese on top of them.
You grill the oysters.
Sure. You can buy one of those little cast iron things with the little scoops in it.
Okay.
And
that sounds good.
Right on the barbecue thing.
Maybe if it's cooked.
You don't even have to open up the oyster because the heat of the barbecue will open the oyster for you. And if it doesn't open, then you don't eat it. It's telling you something.
That's the international sign. Phil, someone here, 630, says, have you ever had pizza from the wooden paddle?
No. I've had pizza from several wooden paddles, but, where is the wooden paddle?
Doesn't say here.
Yeah, no.
And someone else said Chicago pizza works on Clark.
Yeah, again, it seems impossible
to
go to
all... How are we stumping Phil Vitale today?
Yeah, because there's
smaller...
too many.
Yeah. Right. There's
too many.
Yeah, and on Clark is the Chicago pizza and oven grinder, which is a whole different creature
something
in and
else.
Of itself. It's kind of like a pizza pot pie.
Yep.
But, you know, they've been dishing it out for what?
It's 20-something,
worth the visit, 40
though.
Years? Mm-hmm.
Some of my favorites are, like, little dive bars. I used to come into the city for, like, fight nights and boxing matches, I think over at St. Ben's and some other places. And just some of the local dive bars where you walk in and you're like, ooh, best pizza, though. Sure. Absolutely the best pizza. So, again, being in Chicago, it's impossible to try them all. But maybe that can be your next book.
Right.
I will eat at every single pizza restaurant in Chicago.
And a heart attack to follow.
Right. I was going to say, Chapter 9 will be my last will and testament.
Well, we really appreciate you coming in, and I'm sure we could talk about food forever, but any final thoughts?
No, I will say one of the things in the pizza, and we're talking about it. One of the big tips was whether you want your pizza pre-sliced, whether you want to cut or delivered uncut, and you never want the pizza cut for you.
Why?
What?
It gives the toppings a place to go while it's sloshing around in that delivery car. And then the sauce can get in between the slices, and now it hits the crust. Now it's going to make your crust soggier.
Oh.
And so whenever they give the option, actually don't even wait for the option. Say, I want this pizza. Do not slice it for me. Just bring me the whole pie because I'm just smart enough to know how to cut a pizza.
Whoa. I don't want to wait for my wife to cut it when we get home.
That's my problem. Like, what if you don't have that wheel thing to cut it?
Well, then you get one.
Knives work. Yeah. Basically, one of those wheel things is just a knife with an axle.
It's easier.
You could go to any grocery store will sell you one for like
$5.99. I know, Phil.
And when
I
you lose it, you don't feel bad because,
That's very interesting. So we learned something.
I learned a few
things.
We
would.
And when you have the wheel thing, you know how you hold it like this and the wheel's in front of you?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Flip it around. Put it like this and bring the pizza and bring the
towards you. Yeah. Phil Vitale, how do you not have a TV show?
I don't know.
Right. With all these tips
and books
cooking.
And
Something about this overall face, I think they just like.
Come on. Don't put yourself down like that.
We love it. And we cannot thank you enough for coming in.
My pleasure.
To WGN.
I feel like I should have brought pizza.
You know what?
There's still time.
I know.
I love it. Thank you again, Phil Vitale, very much. And you and Anna can have a little love fest.
We have so much to talk about.
While I pay a bill here. And then coming up after the break, we are going to talk about, they ruined it. They ruined it. Going to apologize right now. First of all, it's 1:53 on WGN with Kathy Hart sitting in for John Williams. Quite an honor. I'm not sure how this even happened. and Anna Belleville from WGN TV. We're having a blast. And I'm going to apologize right now for talking about The Bachelorette because I didn't watch. You didn't watch.
No.
But it's all over. It's what people are talking about today because of what happened on the finale last night. So before we play the clip about what happened last night, and again, this is going to be very, very short. We're not going to be talking about this for very long. However, I think what I want to talk about now, 312-981-7200, they ruined it. You took every precaution to not find out the results of The Bachelorette last night, and they ruined it. So call us or text us and let us know, 312-981-7200, because I was at Ravinia last night watching ABBA, the tribute band, with my sisters.
Good for you.
And just having a blast. And one
of my dancing queen that you are.
Oh, that's me. So one of my sisters recorded it. She's been watching it. She's obsessed with it. She even got her husband into it, and he's the epitome sports guy. What, this is ruining your brain? Why are you watching this? Well, I could tell the long story, but I won't. But basically, he ruined it. He ruined it because he thought it wasn't recording. And when he found out it was recording, he goes, yeah, and your intuition was correct. Well, then it told her who it was.
Why would he do that?
So she's at Ravinia during Dancing Queen. And she's like, I can't believe you ruined it. I can't believe you. I'm like, let it go. Just let it go. Yeah. Dancing Queen. Let's just... Come on, have some fun. So again, 312-981-7200. They ruined it. Who was it? And let's play the clip from last night about what happened.
Baby, time stands still for
I really liked that.
Okay.
Are they in the ocean?
Well, I don't have a song, but I'd like to say some stuff. You know, I've always prayed for my future husband. And as a little girl, I can remember sitting in my room. I never knew who I was praying for, but I was always just wondering what their life was like, what they were doing, what their passions were. I am in complete love with you. I love you, Jed Wyatt.
Hannah.
What?
Yes.
Will you marry me?
God, whatever.
Yes.
Okay. So then it turns out, and we're going to spoil it, but it turns out that he had a girlfriend and he was only on the show.
What?
He was only on the show to further his music career. If you couldn't tell, he was attempting to be a
shocker.
Musician.
I know. People were trying to further their music career by going on a reality TV show.
Because that never happens.
No.
No. So we have to take a break, and it might be perfect because I'm sure some people are like, okay, enough Bachelor talk. Yeah. I do want to say thank you to Matt. He's been holding on for so long, talking about
Krista.
Can we go to him real quick? Okay. Good. Yeah. Hi, Matt. Thank you for being so patient.
Anna and Kathy, your reign has begun. May you reign.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Thank you so much. So we're talking about The Bachelorette, and I'm not going to lie, I'm a little surprised a guy is calling. You watch the shows?
Well, here's the thing. I always watch the first episode of every season to see what it looks like and what's going on. Okay. But I wanted to bring up something you said earlier, that it's fake. I do, believe me, I know it's fake. Mm-hmm. But then how do you guys account for Krista and Ryan? Because they're the
couple. That's right. They're still together.
But remember, that was like the first
married.
Season. Matt, that was like the first
season. I think that
season.
Was the third.
Well, and
I think they were the third. And I watched for the first like 10 years, like religiously, which caused great concern among my friends. But after that, I just kind of bounced out. But there is one couple that made it.
Yeah, out of like 50. So that's good. That's a good track record.
Thanks, Matt.
No, but I'm glad they're still together. And it's again, just silly entertainment to watch. And I promise we're done talking about The Bachelor. We appreciate it,
you
Matt.
You ladies are lovely.
Thank you
so much. Have a great day. Enjoy this beautiful weather and beautiful weekend in Chicago. All right, we are going to come back. We're taking a break on WGN. Oh, yeah. Move it, Anna.
Oh, you know, I dance every day.
Yes.
No matter what. To my own beat, to whatever I dance every day.
And I love it. I love it. So it's 208 on WGN with Kathy Hart sitting in for John Williams. Quite an honor. And Anna Bellavall from WGN beside me having a blast. So the first hour is gone. We only have like less than an hour.
I know.
I don't know how that happened, but
because we don't know how to shut up.
I know
that's
why.
So true.
Elif is our producer, and I want to say hi to all the kids. Who's there's a whole group visiting in the producer booth. Hi, you guys.
Say hi.
Say hi. Hi. Where are you guys from? Somebody say it loud.
Where are you guys from? Lisey.
From where?
Lisey.
Are you doing just a radio tour today?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hi. Now you can say you're on the radio.
Right.
So have fun. Mm-hmm. All right, we do have a guest with us today, and we're going to shift gears a little bit, going from The Bachelorette to Lyme disease. But in the studio with us is Dr. Jill Krista. She's a naturopath doctor and author of Break the Mold, 5 Tools to Conquer Mold and Take Back Your Health. So first of all, hi, Dr. Jill.
Hi.
So, oh, I got this. There you go. So mold and Lyme are often interconnected. Right?
Yeah.
Not to dive right in, but there's a lot of stuff to cover, and I just want to get to the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So the symptom picture can be very similar, mm-hmm. and that makes it a little more confusing because both conditions affect many systems and many symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So they can look very commonly like fatigue, amorphous symptoms that don't really, there could be lots of other conditions,
mm-hmm.
but they affect so many different systems that you start to see these patterns of, wait a minute, what? Now my digestion is melting down and my joints hurt and I have headaches and I have fatigue and I'm getting sick all the time. And so what I tried to do is to, because I was more experienced in Lyme disease than mold, I found out that all these Lyme patients that weren't getting better despite the traditional treatment, and using naturopathic medicine is really effective because we combine both conventional medicine and natural medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I had this little subset of people that just weren't getting better. And then one of those patients, they found black mold in his house.
Oh.
And that was the very beginning that I thought, oh, I wonder if this is related to why he's not getting better.
So mold can be a trigger for the bacteria that is in your body from a tick bite or insect bite.
Right.
Okay.
Once you get the Lyme bacteria, you don't ever get rid of it from your body. It's kind of like herpes that way, that once you get it, you have it forever. But your body has a way of controlling it, encapsulating it, so it's not something that you suffer from for the rest of your life. But it will kind of wait until there's an opportunity, and that's just what mold does.
Okay.
It's immune toxic, nerve toxic, liver toxic, kidney toxic. So it just takes down all these symptoms or these systems
mm-hmm.
that help you keep the Lyme in control.
Let's first talk about some misconceptions about how you get Lyme disease, because we were actually having a conversation in the hall with Terry Savage before she left, and it seems like, and she's like so many people that feel like you have to get a tick bite to get Lyme disease, or I can't get a tick bite because I live in the city. Anna, weren't you talking about someone that got it in Central Park?
Yeah. Famous Mexican pop star got it in Central Park. Even though she has a house in rural Colorado or something, she caught it while, taking her kids for a walk in Central Park.
And she had a tick bite in Central Park.
She has Lyme disease.
So it seems like that's one of the big misconceptions. I even had someone tell me, a doctor tell me when I mentioned that both my sons have Lyme, she was like, oh, when did you all go to Wisconsin?
Right.
And I was like, what? You don't. Ticks are everywhere, right?
They are everywhere. And what's
did you
really
go to Wisconsin?
Yeah. I know. That's the misperception.
What a rep we have.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're from Wisconsin. That's right.
We're Wisconsonites.
That's right.
Tick-laden town.
That's right. Well, what we don't, when I was first learning about Lyme disease, I was shocked that birds carry the ticks.
Right.
So they will actually ride from the Gulf of Mexico to Wisconsin, pick
on
up
a bird.
Ticks here, come on back to the Gulf of Mexico.
To Central Park.
To Central Park, to a city park.
Yeah.
So I've had a number of patients where they were just sitting in their backyard reading under a tree.
Right.
Got it.
Do you see the bite once it happens?
No.
The bullseye, you mean?
So we got to talk about the rash.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to understand this because, like, if I have the symptoms, will it be a lot later than when I got that rash? Or is it a rash? Or is it a bite? Right? What am I looking for?
So many times people don't see the bite.
Okay.
The ticks that carry Lyme disease are the nymphs, and they're smaller than a poppy seed.
Okay.
And then they will just feed until they're full and then drop off. So you don't necessarily have to have ever picked off a tick.
Mm-hmm.
It will just feed till it's full. Usually that's about 2 to 3 days. And then they drop off.
And even for the ticks that do latch on and you see them and you take them off,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you don't get a bullseye rash. You can still get Lyme without the bullseye rash, correct?
Right. About 30% of people get a rash.
That's it.
That's it?
Wow.
And especially if you've had mold, you don't have the immune system to have a full-blown reaction. So the people that get the rash tend to do better with the disease because they have a healthier body that complains.
So what is, because this just happened to a friend of a family. They had a tick on their palm, and I said, oh, you need to get tested. And she went to her doctor, and her doctor said, oh, you got the tick off within 48 hours, so you're fine.
Mm-hmm. A lot of debate about this.
Yes.
So there hasn't been a whole lot of funding going toward Lyme research. Now that there is, they're finding that the ticks can actually have the Lyme bacteria in their saliva, and that is passed within 18 minutes was the latest.
Whoa.
So now does that mean you're going to get sick from that? Was that enough bacteria to make someone sick? We don't know, right. And there are ongoing studies.
But, and it depends on immune system, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so if your local immune system can rally and it was maybe just two or three bacteria that came through, maybe your body can just take care of it at the site. But what it did was it really blew a hole in the theory of it has to feed for so many hours and then, you know.
You have to have the bullseye.
You have to have the bullseye. And actually the rash, the term is erythema, meaning red, migrans, meaning migrating out from the source of the bite. So a true target is rarer than a red spreading rash. And it doesn't go in a perfect circle. It doesn't have to.
Oh.
It can. So if you have it, you know, behind your ear, it just might show up as a little bit of acne looking
like a pimple.
Bug repellent doesn't work?
Bug repellent works.
Okay.
So do essential oils. I'm an naturopathic doctor.
Right.
I'm a big fan of essential oils.
Mm-hmm. Which ones? Like tea tree?
Lemon eucalyptus has been.
Oh.
So
ooh,
it's
and
a
then
particular
you smell
form.
Good.
Yeah, exactly. I get comments all the time.
I like
take my
that.
Dog to the dog park and they say she smells like a right hippie dog because she's out there. All these essential oils all over.
Yeah. Hey, if it keeps the ticks off of you.
Yep.
So I do want to talk prevention a little bit, but I think it's really, really important to get the word out there that I feel like both my sons were misdiagnosed ADHD and it turned out to be Lyme. Because pediatric Lyme symptoms are very similar to ADHD.
Yes.
And in my experience, a lot of the doctors don't know this. So what would you say to look out for maybe if your child has been diagnosed with ADHD and now some parents are thinking, what? Is it Lyme? Are there specific symptoms they can look for that would give them any clue?
Boy, that's a really good question. The best go-to resource for me is Dr. Horowitz. He's a Lyme genius, and he has created a questionnaire so that you, if you're a parent that's wondering, I'm wondering if the ADHD, Lyme is a neurotoxin.
Got it.
It causes neurological agitation.
It breaks the blood-brain barrier?
Yep.
Okay.
And so things that shouldn't have gotten into the brain can now get into the brain. So you can have a perfectly normal, healthy, you know, granola lifestyle, and then get a tick bite, and it can cause ADHD symptoms. Mm-hmm. That's a healthier version, actually, because some kids get joint problems, crippling, you know, all kinds of things. So if you are a parent out there listening and you think, oh, I wonder if that's my kid, they can go to Dr. Horowitz's exam or a questionnaire, and it's called the MSIDS.
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 So is it just
systemic infectious disease syndrome?
Whoa. So is there a specific website that we can go to for that?
He has written two books, so it's probably connected to his book website, which is Why Can't I Get Better and How Can I Get Better?
Okay.
Those are his books, and they're fantastic. They're a great resource. So
and you know what? I think that's why so many people discover that they have mold or Lyme, because they're not getting better. They're going to doctors, and we went to numerous doctors. They all said we're crazy, and it was such a relief to finally get diagnosed.
Right.
Because if not only children, but if you're an adult and you have symptoms where doctors just can't figure it out, they tell you that it's stress, you know, you need psychotherapy.
Fibromyalgia.
Right. There's so many.
How do you test for Lyme disease?
I'm so glad you asked that. The CDC.
I didn't. Someone
always...
on the text line.
So,
I'm taking credit for the question from 847. I want to be honest.
Okay, that's good. So the CDC has always said this is a clinical diagnosis, that the testing for Lyme disease is pretty bad. It's unreliable. The idea that you get a tick bite, you go to urgent care, and they test you right there doesn't make any sense because it takes 4 to 6 weeks for those antibodies to convert.
Got it.
If you're healthy enough for those antibodies to convert, if you haven't been exposed to mold. So it's one of those things where they have said from the get-go, this is a clinical diagnosis. You need someone that is Lyme literate, that can look at these symptoms. And that's why Dr. Horowitz created the questionnaire, because there are enough of us out there, aren't enough of us out there that know this, to identify when it's Lyme disease. Mm-hmm. One keynote he found is that if there are migratory symptoms, so today my first finger hurts, tomorrow my right ankle hurts, those are kind of a keynote of it being Lyme. Whereas with mold, mold is more than just a spore illness. You get exposed to the toxins, so it's a multi-systemic, looks a lot like Lyme, but it doesn't have migration.
It's so confusing. There's so many questions.
I have a questionnaire too. So if someone wants that questionnaire, it gives you the risk of it being mold.
Okay.
And then using both are a nice way to know.
I want to check you for ticks. But we did get some really important questions. First, let's talk about the actual tick. If somebody sees, and I have to believe there are parents all over the place, camp counselors, if you see a tick, what is the proper way to remove it and what do you do with it?
Okay, I have a video out there on this that shows me removing a tick from my son. It's tweezers. That is the way. And you don't do a rapid pull. You do a slow, easy tension, and it will back itself out.
Do you pull up?
You just pull the skin, so it almost tents the skin.
Okay.
So you just pull and you hold, and it has to secrete some glue dissolver, and it will eventually do that, and then you get a clean removal.
We used to burn it. Like growing up, we learned you take a match. Remember? Yeah. My mom would I'm like, ow.
And the problem with that is it will cause the tick to regurgitate its stomach contents into you.
Oh,
so the whole smother it in oil, burn it, all that. Nope. Grab some tweezers. It's very simple. There are little tools out there about twisting, but the way I have been trained in medicine is you just do a slow pull and you hold and you hold and you hold.
So it doesn't spaz out and regurgitate.
What can you give your website so people can look that up?
Sure. DrCrista.com. That's DrCrista.com. If you go to the videos tab, there's a video there on how to remove a tick.
Perfect.
Okay. So, Anna, what was the question that you had off
the air? I was confused at the beginning because you were talking about mold and then Lyme. And I know they're two different things, but then there's also a connection, like Kathy was saying. So when we're talking about mold, what are we talking about? And then how does that trigger Lyme?
Gotcha. So they look the same often. The causes are different if it's mold or if it's Lyme. So Lyme is the bacteria. Mold is you have an exposure. They look the same. And mold, if you have been exposed to a water-damaged building and it's impacted your immune system and nervous system, then you are more susceptible to Lyme disease, either activating or not conquering it, not getting better
from
it.
Got it.
And let's briefly talk about mold, because a lot of people think that there has to be visible black mold for it to make you sick.
Right. No, that's a false. That's a false.
Yeah.
So they also think it has to be a flood. One of the things that I was shocked about is because, you know, where we live, it's very humid and we use pre-digested materials in our house, drywall, was wood, plywood, all that kind of stuff. You don't actually even have to have a water damage event to grow mold in your house.
Really?
If you have a high enough humidity in your house and enough dust and materials that the mold likes, mold is everywhere. It'll take advantage of that.
Ugh.
Isn't that gross?
So I did find out that 1 in 4 people are susceptible. They have the DNA. They were born with the genetic predisposition to not processing the airborne toxins from water damage mold.
Right. So moldy buildings, mold will secrete this toxin called mycotoxins. That's the part that makes you sick. That's why I always say it's more than a spore illness. So some people, I call them mold canaries, like the classic canary in the coal mine. Mm-hmm. Mycotoxins are poisonous to everybody. Militaries around the world have used this as biowarfare. So we know that it hurts everyone, every living system, your pets, your plants, everything. But there are people that are more genetically susceptible to the toxin. They can't clear it as quickly.
So that's why someone in the house could be ill and then everybody else is fine.
Right.
And it's very confusing. It's like, well, our house can't be making us sick because so-and-so is fine.
Yes. And so rather than vilifying that person, we should be applauding them and saying, oh my goodness, thank you for saving us. Just like a canary in a coal mine, you've saved us from something we didn't realize was impacting our health.
Because it eventually will. And how do you clean this mold?
I highly recommend hiring mold inspectors, certified mold inspectors. There are certain credentials you want to be looking for. There's BBEC, which is Building Biology, ACAC, and IICRC. Those institutions accredit inspectors, and then ask your inspector who's doing a good job remediating. Because in our area, 1 in 3 remediations needs to be redone.
Yes, I learned that as well. Some people don't do it properly. There was somebody that had some work done, and they were talking about, they said they were certified, and they said, well, how are you going to handle the negative pressure? And the guy looked at him like, what? Please make sure, because when they go in and they tear open that drywall or something, and then all that mold is exposed, all those toxins go airborne. And if there's not a way to get those toxins out of the house or the building, then everybody gets sick.
Well, I'm going to live in a bubble.
I know, right?
After
it's
this
crazy.
Interview, I'm just going to live
so
in a bubble.
So complicated.
Hermetically seal myself in a bubble.
It is so complicated. So, again, we could talk so much because it is so complicated and there's so much to learn. But basically, I hope what everybody took away from this is if your kids have symptoms that you feel are just not being addressed or just crazy symptoms, or they develop tics or they talk about their feet hurting or their stomach hurting.
Is that what happened in your case? Were they complaining about physical pain?
Yeah, my little guy, mm-hmm. he kept saying his feet hurt. So we were like, oh, it's growing pains. It's growing pains. And it wasn't. He was walking like a 90-year-old woman. I'm like, that's not growing pain. Nothing against 90-year-old women. But for an 11-year-old, he shouldn't be walking that way. Mm-hmm. So just little mysterious symptoms that you can't quite put a finger on it.
Yeah, and it could have started as a flu.
And before we say goodbye, prevention. Right. If you're going to go out this weekend, it's gorgeous out.
Yes.
Tell us again what we can do to prevent
that. With essential oils, those are my favorite. Lemon eucalyptus. It's a particular form of eucalyptus that's been shown to prevent.
And I know we don't like chemicals, but if people don't have access to an essential oil like today or right away, anything with DEET?
Yep. DEET on clothing, then you don't absorb it into your skin.
Okay.
DEET is also a nerve toxin, as is mold. So, as is lime. So you want to be careful.
And where am I putting the essential oils?
Essential oils all over the place.
Take a bath in it.
That exaggerated,
what I do,
Kathy.
Is I put it in a little bit of water in a spray bottle.
Okay.
And then I just spray and I bring it with me because you'll sweat it off. Then you just reapply.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
Thank you, Dr. Krista. Yeah, that was great.
A lot of information. We'll try to have a lot of this on the website because we did get a lot out there. But again, tell us your website where we can go.
DrKrista.com. And you can also go to ILADS, which is the Lyme disease treating doctors.
ILADS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
.com?
.org.
.org.
I believe.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Dr. Jill. A lot of information. And we just want to help you guys through the rest of summer to avoid Lyme disease, if at all possible. Thank you, Steve. It is Kathy Hart and Annabella Vall sitting in for John Williams, having some fun. We hope we did a little bit of a public service talking about Lyme disease prevention. So many people have it, and there's so many, the jury is still out, but a lot of insects that can actually give you Lyme disease, spiders and fleas and all different things. So we are going to be talking with Dr. Jill. I'm pretty sure they're having me back tomorrow, stream only, but we're going to be talking.
No one has called to say otherwise.
Dr. Jill tomorrow, because we just have so many questions that people are texting in about essential oil getting rid of mold. That I think she probably or he misunderstood, and they say bleach. Actually, bleach is not supposed to be used with mold. And we will talk more with Dr. Jill about that tomorrow, and we'll put up all the websites and the information that we got from her on the website. We can do that, right, Elif?
Yes, of course, with the podcast.
Fantastic.
Perfect.
So we will do that because a lot of people have questions. But we want to talk about, you know, with John Williams, they do the news click. And yesterday, the question that was asked with Pete McMurray, who was filling it. And you know what? God bless him. Let me just tell him, he was a pro the way that he handled it, because I heard what was going wrong with they weren't able to play commercials, and being on a talk station is hard enough, but back in the day when I was over at the other station, we would just play a song if we needed to out of a situation. So here you play commercials to kind of catch your breath and regroup or whatever. And like, they had this massive problem. So Pete McMurray, kudos to you. He handled it like a pro. So yesterday what they talked about with NewsClick is, what are you most excited for at Lollapalooza? A lot of people talking about Lollapalooza starting tomorrow.
Are you going, Kathy?
And you know what? I gave my tickets to my kids.
Oh,
and
that's nice of you.
They've been going for a while. And you know what? I used to go back, like, way back when it first started.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I enjoy it like I used to.
Okay.
Because, not to sound like an old curmudgeon, but the teenagers
have ruined it for you.
Thank you. They cut. It's just, it's a different experience. Yeah. It's a completely different experience than what it used to be before all these teenagers are being let loose and doing things that they haven't been able to do around mom and dad. And it's a whole different experience.
So. It's interesting. I had never been, and I've been in Chicago for 23
really?
Years. And I went for the first time last year.
Who were some of the bands that you...
I saw Post Malone. I saw Bruno Mars.
Okay.
I saw one more person I don't remember.
How was
but
the
I knew the songs.
Experience. Okay.
I loved it.
It is great.
I loved it. I went with friends of mine, another couple. My husband and I went with another couple that go every year.
Okay.
They're a little younger than us. And they knew exactly how to handle it, right?
Perfect.
So they didn't put me in the middle of a mosh pit or, you know, but my husband did feel a little claustrophobic during Bruno Mars because they're pushing and,
yeah.
And he's like, so this year I want to go back. So we're going on Saturday.
Oh, good. Do you know who you're going to go see?
I'm going to go see J Balvin, who's a Colombian singer.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go see, is it 21 Pilots? Yes, I think
they're
so.
They're on Saturday? Okay.
Uh-huh. And then my husband wanted to see somebody else. I go for the outdoors to hang out, to drink, to be away from my kids, to feel young again.
Let's see. And I love all those responses.
Let's see what people said.
Let's see if you are in the majority or the minority.
You'll see.
Most excited for Lollapalooza, the News Click question yesterday. Discovering new music, that was 29%.
Yep.
Not bad.
The headliners was 19%.
Okay, yeah. I mean, the headliners are a big draw. Remember the year they had Paul McCartney?
Yes.
That threw me off so much because it was just not, it didn't feel like a Lollapalooza act.
But it's been happening. The lineup this year is also kind of funky for people who are like purists of Lollapalooza. Mm-hmm.
It did go back a little bit to just, because with 21 Pilots being one of the headliners. Another answer was the food and drink. That's only 6%. It's not surprising. They have great food and great drink, but that's
not it.
In a city like Chicago, that's not why you go to Lollapalooza. The fashion, 10%. Let me tell you that I have an 18-year-old daughter, and for weeks they've been planning what they're going to wear. And
what's she wearing?
I am telling you, she found one outfit, because she's going all 4 days, and one outfit, she has these neon orange pants.
Okay.
That... like you will spot her a mile away, and I probably shouldn't be saying this, but and then the top is what am I trying to say? It's like multicolor, almost like a bralette. And I checked; it's not too revealing.
Okay,
but not to sound too old, but I'm a mom, and
I'm wearing black and white.
It's all about the smart.
Yeah, I did the whole flower crown last year in a pretty summer dress, and I felt very comfortable. I went in sneakers, but I heard the person you had yesterday, Sam.
Yeah,
was that her name?
Oh, yes. No, Sal.
Sal. Said neon, so Annika's on trend. Neon,
good.
Anything.
Good.
I was just thinking.
But
that.
I'm almost 45. I can't do neon.
Well, that's what I thought. I can't go there and dress like this.
I'm going to go neutral.
I think it's for the teenagers and probably kids in their 20s. Anything after that? I don't know. It just seems like it's trying too hard. Anyway, so the last answer was being outdoors, and that was the winner. 35% most excited about going to Lollapalooza just to be outdoors.
Yep.
And I think it's just because it's Chicago.
Yeah.
Like with the winter, especially the one we had this past season, was horrible. And the weather isn't supposed to be perfect. I think it's supposed to be like 80s.
Knockwood.
Yeah. No storms. Although one of the best times at Lollapalooza was a year that it rained and everybody, like there was mud everywhere. And it got to the point where because of the storm, some of the bands were postponed. And
well, there was lightning too. And they had to evacuate.
And people were covered in mud.
That's why I never went.
Absolutely covered. Well, they actually said it was a lot of fun. My sister did that, and she said that they were just running and sliding like a slip and slide in the mud.
And then they got on the train. And,
yes.
Back to Kenosha or whatever.
I don't know, wherever.
Full of mud.
Or back to the hotel.
Oh, back to the hotel.
We were staying at the beautiful hotel, the Radisson Blue Aqua, mm-hmm. right? And that seems to be a destination for a lot of people going to Lollapalooza. And I was waiting to meet up with my daughter afterwards and watching people come through as I was sober and everybody mm-hmm. else was just, it was interesting. I will tell you that. But the staff there could not keep up with
cleaning
everything that they were bringing into the hotel lobby.
Wiping it, right.
It was insane.
It's a spectacle. I also like the people watching. It's great.
Okay, yeah. So that's actually one of the things that makes me really nervous to go. I've gone alone a couple times at this point for work reasons.
Okay.
And because I just really wanted to see a band that nobody else cared about like I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I get really, really nervous because I don't like crowds and just the people. I don't know what it is, but something about people drinking around me makes me kind of nervous.
Oh, then I'm surprised you even go because.
Right? Well, but they don't do anything to me, you know, knock on wood. Once I get to that gate is when I get really excited. And I'm like, I'm here. I did it.
Oh, good. Oh, so it's the prep, right? Anticipation that makes you nervous.
I think so. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And I think it is just about kind of being smart. And again, we should just touch on safety because of everything going on in this world. I've told my daughter, of course, just be aware of your surroundings. There was one instance, I believe last year, somebody was taking video. These two girls were taking selfies of each other. So phone in one hand, drink in the other, and from a little bit behind them,
someone poured something.
Somebody put a roofie or something into their drink,
what?
And it happened that fast while they were taking a selfie. They slipped it in it's like you would think that's totally fine, but you just have to be super, super careful and be aware of your surroundings. I know the city of Chicago is going to do a fantastic job with security, but
they had a press conference about it. Yeah, WGN Morning News tomorrow actually has a guest that is going to speak about what to tell your kids when they're going to Lollapalooza.
Oh, good.
Because now they're younger and younger, as you said. And so, you know, we had a terrible tragedy last year with a young man who died close to the train tracks or something like that. And so what to tell your kids, because a lot of them are not used to city life,
right,
or public transportation or crowds
or drugs
or alcohol. And so,
right.
Yeah.
So it's like moderation. I mean, you can't keep them from doing it. They're going to do it. And most of them, not saying all, but for the ones that do, it's just like moderation, and look out for each other.
For each other, yeah.
If someone you've got has a girlfriend that's just being stupid, like just
someone sober up and take over.
Look out for each other, it's about the music. It's about having a good time and celebrating our city because I think our city really shines.
Yes,
during Lollapalooza.
Oh, I remember being at Bruno Mars and it was a perfect night. That's the other thing. I had like the perfect day and night at Lolla, and I looked around and the entire skyline was just glowing.
Yeah.
The city was beaming. So I loved it.
There's no better city in the world, especially at night, to see the Chicago skyline.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
Yep.
So, all right. So there you go with Lollapalooza. And again, I'm sure we're going to have more information on that. WGN will as we head into the weekend. But we are going to talk about the length you went to save money. Something absolutely crazy when we come back from the break on 720 WGN. All right. It's 2:49 with Kathy Hart and Anna Belleval. Not fitting in. No, not at all. We couldn't even be anywhere close to John Williams, a talent level. And I know a lot of people are probably nodding their head right now.
Yeah.
But I hope that we did okay.
At least entertained you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hope. In what way, I don't know. but we are going to take a call. We've got Elaine. We were talking about Lollapalooza and some of the great memories there. Hi, Elaine. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. So
awesome.
What were you talking about?
So you guys were talking about the muddy time at Lollapalooza and how it actually ended up being pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot even tell you how many people that I have met and bonded with in the last few years. I'm 53, and I was at the Rolling Stones concert at Alpine Valley, and it was a muddy, 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 rainy day. And everyone was sliding down the hill while we watched the Rolling Stones. And I have just made so many friends about that experience because people are like, you were at the muddy one? And so it is, you know, people love adventures and it's kind of fun. So you just reminded me of that.
Oh, I think that's
great. What a great memory, right?
And it's one of those things about turning a situation where you could be grumpy about it and you could be mad. It's like, oh, the weather sucks and it's muddy and
totally.
It's a mess.
But everyone together got like so excited and we made it like the most of it and we just thought it was hilarious. It was just a big fun fest.
And it's something about concerts that just brings everybody together of all diverse backgrounds, ages. There's something about concerts. Was it the first time you saw the Stones?
No, but it was probably my favorite one. I saw them in Chicago after that too. That was just, it was really fun because people were just like this they're free-spirited and just laughing and like, oh my gosh, this is insane and what the heck, you know?
That's great. I love it. I love it. Well, Elaine, thank you so much for sharing that story. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You guys did great today. Thank you.
Thank you. So, another story about making the best of something, summer travel. I don't know if you've had, like, summer vacations gone bad. We go to the Jersey Shore every year. We've been going, and it's really not like the TV show where we go. It's actually just a nice vacation. Mm-hmm. And we just go to the beach and hang out. And my family's been doing it, I think, since I was 10 years old. So we just fly to Philadelphia, and then we drive to the Jersey Shore. And long story short, it was during storms. Our flight got diverted. Actually, they weren't going to be able to get us to Philly. So they said, we'll fly you to Memphis. And then from Memphis, you'll go to Philly. So we're like, okay, cool. And we had a 4-hour layover in Memphis. And initially I thought, oh, we had plans tonight. We were supposed to be so-and-so. And the people that I was with my best friend and my 11-year-old. So, because my daughter actually ended up driving out there, but we go, and we have 4 hours in Memphis. And I said, let's get an Uber. You guys have never been to Graceland. You've never been to Memphis. So we just made the best of it. We got in an Uber, and we drove past Graceland. So they've never seen that. They got to kind of experience that, at mm-hmm. least see it. Then we hit Beale Street, you know, like that Mark Cohn song, Walking in Memphis. Mm-hmm. We hit Beale Street, and they had a festival going.
Nice.
So we got to, yeah. We had one, my son is African-American, and it was my best friend and I, and we had this one guy come up to us, and he looks at my son, and he says, now, son, let me tell you something. You listen to your mothers. You make sure you listen to everything. So they thought my best friend and I were a couple, and it was a lot of fun. But we got to expose them to Memphis, a city that who knows if I would have ever taken my
exactly.
son or my best friend. Mm-hmm. So we made the best of it. And then we went back to the airport. We were supposed to fly to Philly, and that flight got canceled. So we ended up spending the night. And so we went to that Peabody Hotel where they have the ducks. They do this thing where the ducks come down in the elevator in the morning, mm-hmm. and they walk the red carpet. And they
real
get
ducks? Are you
real
talking
ducks,
about?
Real ducks. And they get into the fountain of the Peabody Hotel, and they stay in the fountain swimming all day, and then there's this big ceremony, red carpet, and they take the ducks back up, and they stay up on the deck somewhere in the hotel overnight. It's insane.
Hundreds. Did you post video of that? I didn't see that.
No, I should have. Hundreds of people are there
to watch the ducks
do
this.
To watch it. It's
insane. The duck line.
Yeah. So it was kind of a summer vacation that went bad, that went good.
Yeah.
You know, and it's about making the best of it. So do you have any summer vacation nightmare stories that actually turned out to be good? I know I'm putting you on the spot trying
no, they
to think
were
of something.
Bad. They were all bad. Because we are also always in a hurry. Like, we have our time limited. We want to get there, or we have school the next day, or not in the summer, but I have work the next day. So I've learned after having kids that I never come home on a Sunday if I have to work Monday. I come home on a Saturday.
Oh, that's smart.
And if the kids have school, same thing. Because if the flight gets canceled or delayed, I'm not missing work. They're not missing school, or arriving at 2 a.m. and then having to go to work really early.
Right.
And the kids go to school. So I've learned that. And, you know, when my husband and I, for his 50th, which was 2 years ago, we went to Italy. And it went great, but we had time restrictions, right? So mm-hmm. we wanted to get home, and we didn't know if we were going to make the connection. And that was just, it was driving us nuts.
Oh, it's always risky, especially with summer travel and storms, although winter as well. When I was booking, sometimes I go to Expedia, and sometimes I never know what, I'm just going to try to get the best airfare. And when I was looking at this Expedia, do you know that they have this option where you can go the Expedia bargain fare? So you get the flight, you book the flight, mm-hmm. and you get the details after booking it. So it's a special fare with restrictions. So you can get all the details in the checkout, but the airline and the flight time are not revealed until after the purchase.
Wait a minute. You have the destination.
You have the destination.
Uh-huh.
But the airline and the flight time will be revealed after you purchase it.
I have a way of cheating through that.
You too?
Yeah. Well, tickets, you can get a refund within 24 hours of your purchase. So if you don't like the time that
you got, return it.
Or the airline, you return it right away and you try again.
Elif, that's brilliant.
Well,
this
I am
why
brilliant.
We have you here, Elif. That's why
yes.
we have you here.
Because you get a discount.
Yeah.
So, and I thought, that's going to, sometimes people go to extremes to save money. I don't know if I could live with, maybe if I'm going solo, but
yes.
with family,
Mm-mm.
no way would I do Mm-mm. that. Mm-mm. It's too risky. You sound like a planner like me.
I am a planner, and you know, we travel to Puerto Rico all the time. And again, we have to travel within a certain time, and there's only a few flights that are direct, and we don't want to stop. So I never get a deal. I never get a deal anywhere. I never win anything. So I go on those websites. I don't understand them. I act like my mother and yell at the computer. So my friends travel all the time with great deals, and I'm like, I don't know. I just click, and it's always $600.
Well, you did win today with some free coffee and cake pops.
But that's because you're a wonderful person.
Okay, so I did see that we have something to celebrate with you. You got 30,000 Instagram followers.
Apparently, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal. So it's a total big deal.
Yeah.
I think I have like five. I don't know.
No, you don't, Kathy.
No, I do. Seriously, I think I only have like, I mean, 5,000.
Oh,
not five.
Oh, like, I thought, because I'm one of your followers. How are we
yay!
Just 500?
Yay.
No, I don't know. I think it was because I posted a picture in a bathing suit on Sunday.
Oh.
And I cheated. I had 29,000.
That's the
900.
Trick.
Natalie, my around town producer, is key to this success on
Smart.
Social media, because when we hired her, she took over and like tells us what to post and what to do and when and how to dress it up.
And Natalie's in the studio.
Yeah.
So give me some tips afterwards. I know we have to get to, are we talking to Ro at all?
Are we?
And
I don't know. We're
Anna?
Still I'm
Anna?
Still trying to figure that
Anna.
Out.
Oh, so I doubt it, because it's already 2:57, right?
Yeah.
Should we take a break? Okay, we'll take
okay.
I just heard break. So are we gonna have a chance to say goodbye when we come back?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll say goodbye when we come
okay.
back on 720 WGN. Anna Belleval, thank you so much for coming in, having some fun
it's
today.
My pleasure.
Where can we find you on Instagram?
Anna.Belleval, traditional spelling.
Okay, okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Anna with one N. The one coming up has two N's, hence Anna.
Yeah, Anna.
Mm.
And
Ro. Mm.
Hi, guys.
There you have it, Ro. You knew that.
Yeah, I knew that. And I Ro, traditional spelling.
Traditional
as well.
Spelling,
yes.
too.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's so funny when, for years, people would write, remember when people would write letters to
yeah.
you? Normally they were threats or something was leaking out
yeah.
of them. But
had a few of those.
But it's they would spell my name R-O-K-O-N. Like it's one word. Rokon.
Oh.
Like
seriously?
Yeah.
Well, today our joke on the air was that for 14 years that I've worked at WGN Morning News, Tom Skilling thinks my name is Annabella.
Oh, God.
He calls me Annabella. Forget the vowel.
What happened to Val?
Oh, no, because apparently my first name is Annabella and then the last name is Val.
Because yeah. you say it so fast?
I don't know. I don't say it anymore on the air. Like, they introduce me. I don't say Annabella Val anymore.
Oh,
I like it when you said it,
thank
though.
You.
I used to love the way you said it.
Annabella
Val. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
That actually scared me a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, that's the best.
Annabella Val.
Right. Well, we're done. So
all right. Well, we're just beginning. We're going to try and see our way through this technical mess, whatever
oh,
it happens
goodness.
To be.
Awesome. Good luck with
so,
that.
Thank you very much.